turning with me and standing also to Psalm 29. I'm going to read from verse 4 and then to verse 9. And then we're going to go to Psalm 33. And the word of the Lord is powerful. So thankful for God's word today and for all of you that have come to worship the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now, I usually do this on Wednesday night, but I'm going to do it tonight, this morning at 11. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. Let me see. I got my Bible up here. Anybody? Let me see. If you're standing next to somebody, they don't have their Bible, just kind of give them that stink look, the stink eye. And then, as you know, yes, Sister Monique, you took the words right out of my mouth. Your tablet, your phone, your RT app has a Bible on there. And that counts. That's the Word of God. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be reading it now that we have it with us all the time. And so thankful for God's Word today. The Word of the Lord says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Somebody say powerful.
Powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Makes the deer that are pregnant to be born. That's what that means. And discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Sister Bautista sang a song about the glory of the Lord. Psalm 33 and 4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Verse 9 says, for he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Now, the 9 o'clock service, I didn't get to finish preaching. I'm not saying that's going to happen here today at 11, but there's something about when you begin to talk about the power of God. Begins to change the atmosphere. So if you're thankful this morning for the Word of God, would you just begin to lift up your voice right now and begin to give God the glory in the sanctuary? Can we do that? Come on, she sang about it. She led us in a song about it. But why don't we do that without the praise team and without the worship leader? Just begin to give God a praise and give Him the glory. Come on, let's give God the glory. We can do way better than that. Come on. Give Him the glory. Come on, give Him the glory. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Ha! The glory of the Lord in this place. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. This is a psalm of David. When David writes psalms, he's compiling songs or hymns from the view of a worshiper. David was quite the minstrel and worshiper. We know him as a king. We know him as a giant slayer, but he was a worshiper. In fact, he starts this particular psalm with an instruction to worship. In verse 2, he says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship. It says worship. Somebody say worship.
Worship,
worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Though David was a great warrior, he attributed his victories to the power of God. When we see in Scripture we understand that he was pretty serious about the voice of the Lord. In fact, he repeats it 7 times in 6 verses. And we cannot, here, Pastor, we cannot separate the voice of God from the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is a never-ending statement and an expression of himself. Notice what John writes in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. This is the best part. And the Word was God. Amen. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We don't have a problem with words because we use words when we speak or communicate. But words are what we use. In fact, words are speech or talk, and it's a unit of language consisting of written words that represent something and verbal discussion. And the Bible declares, in fact, we've even made statements of this, but in Proverbs chapter 18 and 21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we've made statements, and it's very true, that it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. The tone, the mannerisms, the attitude behind the words or the voice in which something is spoken. That's why some of you that are survivors of the chancla, you could still hear the this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Amen.
Any chancla survivors here this morning? Some of you look too afraid to look around, right? You hear that little coming across. But Matthew tells us in Matthew 12 and 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And with the words comes voices, or a voice of the words. How many could still hear your parents or your coach or Bishop Keys at times? I can hear him ringing in my ear about stuff. You can just that voice. You can hear particular people at particular times. You can just hear that voice. You may have forgotten what they look like in the imagery of your mind, but there are days and times that, or seasons of your life, you can hear that voice. You can hear that roar of somebody saying something. It's because a voice is a proclamation. A voice is an utterance or an expression to declare something, to proclaim something. It's an expression of the will or the desire. It's an expression of spoken or written words. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The scripture tells us and declares in Psalms that we read today, that how powerful the voice of the Lord is. We see the importance of speaking things into existence. So powerful that we see, Sister Emily, in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 1, and we see particularly in verse 2, and God said, let, or verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And Brother Jesse, the Lord begins to speak, and he begins to form life. He begins to form heaven. He begins to form day and night, and the waters and the heaven come together, and they separate, and things begin to happen. And then we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord formed man, and he begins to breathe in the man the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. It's because God begins to speak and things begin to happen. The word translated voice can also mean noise or thunder. We see this in Joel chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And notice this, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. The Lord's voice is awe-inspiring, and it dominates whatever rumblings there are in the atmosphere. When the Lord speaks, hear, Pastor, through his word, through his vessel, whatever man or woman is being used of God, whatever the Lord speaks, he uses them or himself, the audible word or the voice of God. It's life-changing, and it's impacting. It's powerful. Things begin to happen. We've got to understand something, that it's not always a loud, boisterous, thundering voice of God that we hear. It's not always the shout and the shaking of the voice of God. Because we see this. We've got Bible in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 11. This is the prophet of God, Elijah. He's dealing with Jezebel. We're dealing with the spirit of Jezebel today, but he was dealing with the real Jezebel and Ahab and all the nonsense that took place there. I don't got time to get into it, but the scripture says that the Lord said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and it broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But notice this, verse 12. And after the fire, a still, small voice. What this means is, when you look at that word, when you break it down, the still, small voice, it means a whisper, that the Lord begin to whisper. Can I tell you, when there's some of you that the Lord delivered you from the whispering ministry. Some of you are freaking out. I'm going to stay on track this morning. I'm just going to preach. I'm not going to pastor here for a minute. But when you're whispering, it's because you don't want someone to hear what you're saying. Right? You whisper in church because you don't want to be rude, disrespectful. And so you whisper. That would be the appropriate thing to do, is you whisper. You go somewhere and you got something, it would be amazing, because we have crowd mics, so they can hear what we're saying. You guys are saying in there, by the way, on website, the webcast. So when you say, oh, what verse did he say? What chapter? Do you have any gum? Where are we going for lunch after church? You know, you're whispering, right? But you got to get close enough to somebody when they're whispering for you to hear what they're saying. So the Lord is speaking, and he's not always speaking in a loud, boisterous voice, Sister Jessica, but sometimes it's in the still, small voice where he's whispering, because he's got something in particular that he needs you to hear, and it's for you and nobody else. Yeah. So that means you've got to be close enough to the Lord to hear his whispering. Not social distancing, I hate that word, but not distancing yourself from the Lord, right? Right. But close enough. I want to sit in your feet. Right? We sing a song, drink from a cup in your hand. Hey, it sounds good in a song with the melody, but what about living that in real life? That I want to be close enough to the Lord that I could hear him whisper. That everyone else may be doing what they're doing, but I'm in such communion and close relationship with the Lord that I can hear the whisper of the Lord. When everyone else is in crisis and everyone else is in disarray and everyone else has got confusion and they're wrestling with sins and the cares of life and the lust of other things and the deceitfulness of this world and there's panic and pandemonium and the things that are trying to close in and choke us out but I'm able to hear this, even the whisper of the Lord that within a crowd. Some of you know what I'm talking about. As kids, and as parents, you can snap your fingers and be somewhere, and your kids know exactly who that was and what that was. You can hear your kids say mama or daddy, be at Costco with thousands of people, and you can hear them. You can understand and recognize the cry of your kids, and you can be at the grocery store, at the mall, or at somewhere in public, and you recognize that cry. You recognize, I feel like preaching. You recognize that voice. You recognize that sound, because it's a familiar sound, because you have spent time time with those kids. You have spent time with those people. You recognize that you haven't talked to somebody on the phone for a long time, and the moment you pick up the phone and you, the first words that come out, you know who that is. Can I preach to somebody this morning? The Lord wants to have that same kind of relationship, that same kind of intimacy with us, that we can whisper and we can hear the voice of the Lord and not be consumed by the voices of this world and the chaos that's going on around us and the nonsense in some of our homes, but we can hear the voice of the Lord, because sin's got a voice, and the enemy of your soul has got a voice, and addiction has got a voice, and the world's got a voice, and the society has got a voice, but the Lord's got a voice, and he's saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Behold, I come quickly. I'm coming. I'm coming for a people that can hear the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of the Lord is powerful. But the enemy of our soul has a voice. He's got a voice, and he uses that voice. And his words are coupled together, and sometimes they're enticing and they're addictive. And he uses words like a smooth operator. And his words sound good, but his words are demeaning. His words, they maybe excite you, but they're full of lies. Can I tell you and remind you and reiterate this morning that the devil's a liar? And let me give you a Bible verse that proves this. John 8:44, there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Some of you, I keep coming back to this for two or three sermons in a row, because the Lord is obviously trying to get somebody's attention. The devil is a liar. He's out to get you. He's not your friends. He'll use your ex. He'll use your boss. He'll use your career. He'll use your charisma. He'll use your pride. He'll dampen your joy, because he knows that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he speaks and he lies and he's got a voice. But we got to make sure we tune that voice out. We disconnect it so we can hear the voice of the Lord, because it's powerful. Lift your hands. Praise the Lord. I need you to lift your hands. Touch the Lord. An adversary. He attacks. He's an antagonist. He's out to get you. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody needs to lift your voice this morning and remind hell that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he's defeated. The Lord has come that we might have life, and life more abundantly. Come on, somebody lift up your voice and believe the word of the Lord this morning. When the Lord filled us with the Holy Ghost, his power resides in us. And every word of God will come to pass whether we believe it or not. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. Verse 20 says, despise not prophecies. That means that we don't need to scoff at prophecies. But the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Some of us are finally believing the voice of the Lord about revival and about end time harvest because of the continual voice of the Lord from men of God that have been behind this pulpit and stood behind this pulpit and have declared to us over and over again what God is going to do. In fact, it was reiterated to me publicly. Some of you were there Friday night. A personal prophetic word that the Lord had given me sometime back privately. The Lord made it public last Friday night. Can I tell you, some of you need to hold on to some of the prophetic utterances and promises of God that God has promised you over and over again. Why, Pastor? Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 29:4 that the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. That's His voice and His word and the prophetic utterances should be ringing loud and clear in our hearts and mind. That's the thing we should be thinking about, is the voice of the Lord, the prophetic utterance of God, what He's done and what He's going to do, so we can position ourselves to sustain and contain whatever God is about to do. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Is anybody ready to see the prophetic and see the powerful things that God has promised His people? Can I tell you this morning that the voice of the Lord is not void?
No.
Void means it's barren or lacking or deprived or it's vacant or useless or ineffectual. The voice of the Lord is not void, but rather the voice of the Lord is what the scripture says in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. I want to stir somebody up this morning that you've had a word from God. You've had a promise from God. You've had a prophetic word from God, and it's been void and it's been dormant, and the devil's tried to tell you that it was a preacher that missed it, and time has gone too past, and the man of God even that told you that word has passed away. Can I tell you, you need to stir that word up this morning. You need to stand on that word of God this morning. You need to stand for Jesus. You need to promote Jesus. You need to declare Jesus. You need to glorify the Lord and say, it hasn't happened yet, but it's about to happen in Jesus' name. Because the voice of the Lord is not void. Don't be intimidated to stand up against things that are right, regardless if the voices that are declaring wrong are louder. God's given us a voice. A voice that some of you have allowed to be put on mute because of fear. Can I be real this morning? Can I be real this morning?
Yes.
Nowhere in Scripture do we read that God has given us fear or intimidation.
Amen.
He's not out there giving us doses of fear and say, well, I'm gonna give this person fear. Fear is not a spiritual gift. For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. But He does give us the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. The Bible tells us that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. He does give us power, right? The scripture tells us in Isaiah 40:29, He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. And he also tells us that to fear not. Somebody say, fear not. Isaiah 40:1-10 says, fear not, for I am with thee.
Yeah.
Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee.
Yeah.
I will help you. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Can I tell you, fear is walking around and it's seeking somebody that's willing to accept and hear the voice of fear. Think about it. Some folks are afraid of being sued. Some folks are afraid of your wife. You're afraid of the dark. You're afraid of dogs. Right? You're afraid that you're gonna lose your house, that your marriage is gonna fail. You're going to lose your job. You're afraid that you're not going to be able to afford to put gas in your car and food on the table. But God does not give us a spirit of fear.
Yes.
Bible tells us in Psalm 33 and 4, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. That's why you've got to be careful who you allow to speak into your life. The thing that we have nowadays is we have so many people that they have their own platform that they can speak and declare and say whatever they want to say on YouTube and social media, and are self-called preachers and pastors and prophets and chief apostle, whatever it is that they name they want to give themselves, chief apostle, bishop. That's not even biblical. And they're not submitted to God. They're not submitted to a pastor. They're not even submitted to the word of God. They're out there declaring stuff that is false, taking people's money, ruining churches and houses and people. It's lies. They're reprobates. They're not of God. And you don't need to go looking and searching for that. What you need is an old-fashioned preacher that's going to stand on the word of God and say, you know what? We're too close to the end to go listen to every self-proclaimed this, that, and the other. Can I tell you, we've got to be submitted to God, the man of God, and the word of God, because there's too many voices out there competing for your soul. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 27 and 20, hell and destruction are never full. So, we got to make sure we get do what John said. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we need to heed to the, make sure we're heeding to the word of God and the voices of the Lord and the voice of the word of God and the man of God. Even at times it may be a whisper. And not voices of doubt or selfish ambition or carnal lust. We've got too many voices that we're exposed to and we listen to and we dwell on, entertain them, and we give credit to those voices rather than the voice of God, the word of God, and the man of God. Amen. So Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 21 and 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Just ask him. There's not a famine of opinions. But there is becoming a famine of the word of God. God help us at Revival Tabernacle never lack for good, godly, apostolic preaching and teaching and demonstration of the word of God. You have every reason to be freaked out, sleep with one eye open, and worried about your finances and your health and your well-being if you're not living for the Lord or you're not paying your tithes and offering yet. You should be where you should be like wondering how I'm gonna do this and do that because the Bible says that you're robbing God and you're cursed. But notice what the Bible also says in Jeremiah 17 and 5. Cursed be the man who trusteth in man. But when you're serving the Lord, even if you have a strained relationship with the Lord, even if at times you're distant with him, when you're serving the Lord, you could do what the proverb writer, you can have rest assured that I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I don't lean unto my own understanding, but in all thy ways I acknowledge him, and he directs my path. You may sometimes get off path, but when the Lord directs your path, you can hear the whisper. It says, hey, get back on the right track. Hey, get over here. You don't need to be over there, saints of God. That's why we got to appreciate standards of holiness and preaching of the word of God and leadership covenants, because it's fenced. It keeps some things in and it keeps a whole lot of things out. Saints of God, we've got to heed to the voice of the Lord, because the voice of the Lord is powerful.
Amen.
I'm having a little pain in my side this morning, so it's kind of messing up my train of thought. We need to spend more time with the Lord. And the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we get to know the Lord. And the more we get to know the Lord, he can say some things to us, even with a whisper, and we hear him. Some of you today, you need clarity in your life. You need direction in your life. You need confirmation in your life. You need some a sure word from the Lord today. Well, I got a sure word from the Lord today. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. He'll show you the path of life, but you got to get in his presence. And the way we get in his presence is we begin to worship and entertain the presence of the Lord. That's what happens with pre-service prayer and worship, is we're entertaining the presence of the Lord. He inhabits the praise of his people. He's enthroned with the praise of Israel. That means that his king and his lordship and the execution of his power becomes all-powerful reigning when the people of God gather together and begin to lift up the name of the Lord. They begin to glorify God in his temple, and the things begin to happen because the voice of the Lord is powerful. The word of God can go out, and it's sharp, and it's able to heal. It's able to pierce through sins. It's able to fix marriages and heal addictions, because the word of God is powerful. Come on, somebody. You need clarity. You need direction. Begin to glorify God this morning. You need understanding. You need doors to open. Begin to glorify the King this morning. Voice of the Lord is powerful. We need to make sure in these last days that we're close enough to the Lord that we can hear him whisper.
Yes.
We cannot put the voice of God, his word, and the preacher on low or mute or void it out and turn up the pandemonium over this world.
No.
We don't need to be answering the call for overtime on the job and turning down the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. We don't need to be listening to the voices of the naysayers and the gossipers and the worry wars and the negative Nellies and turning down the voices of the elders and the worshipers. But rather than that, we need to make sure that we can hear even the whisper of whatever the Lord or the man of God or the word of God or the lady of God says. And they can be screaming loud over here in society and the world, but we're able to block it out because we've got an ear and we're hearing the voice of the Lord. Because it's powerful. He's going to ascend from heaven with a shout. We've got to make sure that we're ready to see and to hear when he calls us. Now I'm really going to get to preaching. Psalm 29 and 9 says, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. This means that the things that are spiritually pregnant begin to give birth when the voice of the Lord, which is powerful, begins to go out and go forth. Hear me this morning. We, as a church body, as an RT church family, and we as the body of believers, have been spiritually pregnant with revival and end time harvest. We've been spiritually pregnant with miracles, prophetic promises, and declarations. And we've been praying as a church. I can only speak for the two churches and the preaching point that I'm overseeing. But we've been praying and praying and praying, and we're going to pray some more. And then we're done praying, we're going to pray some more. Somebody say amen. And we've been planning, and you've been planning, and you've been preparing. And we've been training, and we've been fasting, and we've been taking dominion in prayer, in discipleship, and engagement. But this is all what we're preparing for, is the birthing process of whatever it is that the Lord has promised us prophetically, and whatever the Lord has promised you individually, and whatever it is the Lord has promised us and declared in his word. He has said in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Well, there's got to be people that are prepared that can baptize people. There's got to be people that are prepared to teach Bible studies. There's got to be churches in areas so that we can be able to have people to go to. There's got to be people that are not just disciples, but disciple makers. There's got to be, make sure that we have camera system and we've got a sound system and we've got social media so that we're able to at any time begin to minister to people. There's got to be people that have a past like your past, that because not everybody is going to be raised in church, and that's a wonderful testimony, but there's got to be people that have a past and like your past, so you can reach people like you that say, you know what, it has to have been God, because I tried this, that, and the other. I got the t-shirt, I got the hat, I got the certificate, but it didn't work. But I went down to a church and they prayed for me and I was filled with the Spirit. I had my ups and downs, but God left me anyways, and I'm punching back because I'm staying in the fight, because there's going to be a revival. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be backsliders that come back. There's going to be new people that come. And the voice of the Lord is so powerful that at any given time, you may be preaching. At any given time, you may be teaching the Bible stuff. You may be singing. You may be on social media. And God's voice is so powerful that what is birthed in you begins to come out. And God begins to use you like you never imagined. I believe this morning, here in this building, and even online, I'm preaching to the next pastor of Buellton. You may not be here right now, and you may be online, but I believe we're sowing seed, and God is preparing you that you are spiritually about to have some, because he calls those things that are not as though they are. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. He calls those things that are not as though they are. Prayer requests, anointings, giftings and callings. Strobing into the voice of the Lord, so powerful. And things are begin to shake. And things begin to be birthed. Just like it took place in the earlier chapters of the book of Acts. They begin to pray and the foundation shook. They begin to sing songs in Acts 16. And the doors begin to open. They begin to lift up their voice and begin to pray in Acts 2. And the Holy Ghost fell. And they begin to go out. And noises all around. I hear this noise. What is that? And one man who had a problem with cussing, he stood up and he said, these men aren't drunk as he supposed. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he began, the voice of the Lord was so powerful that there were hundreds or thousands, excuse me, that were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the church was birthed. Can I tell you, that was the beginning. But the Bible has been declaring in the Old Testament and the New Testament ever since that the latter house shall be greater than the former house. And in the last days, he's going to pour out of his spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, we need to tell hell that the Lord is coming soon, and we're going to make heaven crowded, and we're a voice. We may be a voice like John the Baptist of one, but we got a voice, and we're going to use it for the kingdom. Some of you may remember this or have heard about it, but a couple, 5 weeks ago probably, we were at a camp meeting and we were challenged by the man of God about growth and discipleship. Nothing in particularly different than what we've been talking about at RT over the last couple months, but it's more so for me, for our church. I had several of the leaders that were there come up to me or text me and say, hey, Pastor, you've been talking about this, or we're already doing this, etc. So it's just a confirmation of some things locally, but then regionally, there's some things that I've had conversations with over the last couple months. Because, you know, pastor's always working on something, right? And I'm working on something else, too, right now. But anyways, that when you begin to see this area is absent of English-speaking Jesus-name churches. And the man of God shared and declared that how some of the works in other countries were started were that the missionary of maybe a neighboring country would get on a plane or a boat, and he would go to that next country, and he would just go and he would do a prayer walk or come and pray and go to that, get off the plane and off the boat, and as soon as his feet hit that new country, that soil, he would pray, and then he would just speak into the atmosphere and declare to the nation, and particularly to the principalities of the air and to the enemy, and say, the Pentecostals are coming.
Right.
And some of you have kind of seen some of the promos that we have had for Buellton, the Pentecostals are coming. And so on the way back from camp meeting, and on the way to junior camp, and on the way back to junior camp, I had to go through a large area from particularly Paso Robles all the way to Salinas. So my area of responsibility as a presbyter is from the Gavioto Tunnel all the way really to Greenfield, almost to Soledad. And so that's kind of my spiritual leadership area as a presbyter. My obviously spiritual covering and leadership is here to this church and the city. But we don't have there is not an English-speaking Jesus-name church of between Paso Robles and Salinas. And so what I begin to do is I would get into those cities and I would stop and I'd get out and I've done this in Guadalupe and I've done it in Buellton. But I would get out and I'd stop in Soledad and Gonzales and King City, and particularly I stopped at KFC and I had a sandwich, and I just begin to speak in the atmosphere and say, the Pentecostals are coming, RT is coming. We may not have a preacher to send yet, but we will send money, we'll send a sound system, we'll get a team together. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm declaring the word of God that we're going to have revival, not just in Santa Maria, but right here on the Central Coast. Why? Because the voice of the Lord is powerful. When the people of God can get in alignment with the word of God and with one another, there's nothing that we cannot do, for with God all things are possible. Some of you are finally realizing that the power of God resides in you and how powerful you really can be when you begin to use your voice for the kingdom. Some of you used to use your voice for a lot of things before you got into church. That same personality is still there. You are a loud, obnoxious, life of the party person.
Amen.
Before you had two coronas, just now you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You can still be loud, decent, and in order. Crazy for Jesus. Come on, somebody, and use your voice to worship, to testify, to sing, to evangelize, because the voice of the Lord is powerful. We understand what Paul is urging us to have, a revelation of the powerful greatness of our Lord. In Ephesians 1 and 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? We have got to believe that he is.
Yeah.
And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you also got to, how many of you have the Holy Ghost? I want to see by a show of hands all the powerful people in this place. Look, you've got the Holy Ghost. You're powerful. You may not feel powerful, look powerful. You may be up in years, but you are powerful. It has nothing to do with age or education. It is, I'm filled with the power of God. I pray and I get to talk to the Creator of the world. I pray and I have a heavenly language that I talk to him, and I begin to speak in other tongues, not just to show how spiritual I am, but it's a heavenly language. It's the voice of the Lord, which is powerful. We've got to use our voice. You got to remember what happened in Jericho when a group of people begin to use their voice. Walls begin to come down when they begin to shout, and they begin to shout because the man of God said, for the Lord hath given you this city. Can I tell you, I come to tell somebody here today, you need to shout and lift up your voice, because some of you are going to see your kids and your grandkids and your friends and family members saved, living for the Lord, restored in the house of God. Because the voice of the Lord is powerful. Powerful. The musicians will begin to make their way this morning. Some of you have been so silent for way too long. That just goes to tell me that at any time you could blow up. You've got a lot to let out and to share with the Lord. Notice what Isaiah 54 and 1 says. It says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitation. Spare not, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand." As we stand this morning, some of you need to get ready for what God's about to do here with our Forward and Revival and Gazebo services. Can I tell you, the Gazebo Church is the beginning of our revival. That Sunday when we get out to the gazebo, we're going to be speaking into the atmosphere. Yes. We're going back to a place that for some of us, we think it's holy ground. Because for 35 years, there was camp meeting there, senior camp, junior camp, and God bless us for 14 weeks. And here we are, 2.5 years later, we're going back to that place and we're bringing a man of God that is locked in spiritually and connected to our church. And we're going to declare some things in the spirit. But can I tell you, it's not just to go and eat tacos and say, we had church outside and we memorialize what God had did, but no, we're declaring to the city, we're declaring to the enemy and the fowls of the air that says, you know what, the Pentecostals aren't coming, the Pentecostals are here, and we're here in Jesus' name, and we're going to have revival. Brother Dross is going to be here, Brother Lopez is going to be here, but in between that, we're going to have prayer meeting. Because none of that is going to work unless we pray. Some of you, you've had some prayers that have been held up. You've had some prophetic utterances, promises of God that have been on hold. But I'm believing what Isaiah said in Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren. Cry aloud. You've been spiritually pregnant with a miracle, just waiting for the right release for God to let it be birth and anointings. Who knows what God's going to do today and here in the coming week with revival. But we've got to get ready. We've got to be able to glorify God and the beauty of holiness and begin to worship the Lord. Because prayer and worship changes things.